Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's honor. It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Hey, welcome to another Fans Culture Parents Network. I'm your host, M.A. Scott, and we promise you another wonderful show. As always, we're going to promise you a show that hopefully you're going to be able to enjoy and have a great time with. Well, folks, I think this evening we're going to have a very good time because we got a special guest calling in, and hopefully that guest will be able to join us here real soon on our line. But, you know, as always, I can't start the show without first playing my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and that college experience. As an engineer, play that for us one time.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the form, out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
You know, Keith said he's big and sparkle, and that's what we like to try to do all the time. You know, I had the pleasure of being out there this weekend, and I had a chance to attend the elite camp down in North Carolina, down in that area, and it was a good turnout. But I was mostly impressed by the hard work that the young men put in out there on the you know, I watched these guys work hard. For like, cool. They started about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. They went all the way up until about 10 o'clock last night. That's about 8 hours right there. Then turned around, got back up again this morning. Went again from about 8:30, 9 o'clock, all the way up until about 4 o'clock this afternoon. Actually put in work. Actually out there trying to, you know, better themselves and what they're doing. You know, and I had a chance to get to the coach and talk to the coach for a little piece and topped it off with just basically coach letting me know about me letting the coach know who I am and, you know, what I do. And I had an opportunity to share some information with parents. And I just stressed the point of, you know, parents doing what they got to do, doing a good job. And keeping on top of staying in touch and contact with their young men and helping their young men and guiding them in the right direction. Well, folks, I'm saying all that because we got somebody on with us this evening that I think is going to be a good inspiration to many of you. I've had the pleasure of meeting her actually just via the phone on a few occasions, but just talking to her that occasion is definitely something that kind of like let me know that she's a real person and she's the type of person that's going to be there with her child and not only just be there with her child, make sure that he's getting the best out of every situation. who am I talking about? I'm talking about Mary. And I'm just going to simply call her Mary right now. I'm going to let her come on and see if she can give us a little insight into who she is. But I'm telling you, folks, we're in for a treat this evening. Definitely in for a treat this evening. Mr. Engineer, see if my guest is on, please, sir, and connect us. Hello, welcome to the panel. Move forward, and hopefully she'll call right back, because I know she was on a second ago. She had just sent me a text message saying that she was trying to connect me into the show. So let's see what's going to happen here. I'll try her again. I don't know if somehow we got disconnected or she dropped the call, but I know she said she was out at dinner, so, you know, the food may have been getting cold, and hopefully that she'll be able to join us again. But like I was saying, you know, the information that I had to share with the parents this weekend, and I tell this to any parent that has a young man that's out there that's looking for a scholarship, and that child just so happens to be going into his or her junior year or his or her senior year. If you're going into the senior year, you need to act fast. You need to act right away. But this is one little tidbit that, please, by all means, give your parents, go to Parents Network some credit for. This is one little tidbit that I shared with the parents while out there at the event today. And that little piece was just simply to say, if your child's playing over the next few months, and you know that your child's playing, and you already have the schedule for all the events that he or she's going to play in, why not forward a copy of that schedule to your coaches or any school that your child is interested in trying to attend? But just let the coach know, hey, coach, we're out here. We will be attending this event, that event, and just simply go from there, reaching out to the different coaches. And, you know, don't just stop that one coach. Don't stop that two or three coaches. Stop it, hey, throw it out there, 15, 20 coaches. Because the only thing you're looking for at the end of the day is that one scholarship. One scholarship. Not, you know, don't limit yourself. Say, I sent it out to 3 or 4 coaches. Because just like a parent shared with me today after we finished talking, she said, you know, I've been sending out information, and, you know, I've sent it out to about 15 different coaches, and I may have heard back from 2 or 3. Okay? Because that means your child's not that high on their radar. So as a result, they're not interested in coming after you right now. But the 2 or 3 that you heard back from, they know of your child, and they're interested in possibly trying to find out more about your child. So you need to stay in touch with them, and then, hey, revise that list. Revise that list and go after another 15 to 20. Because, again, at the end of the day, you just need one good hit. And what I mean by one hit, you just need one coach to be interested enough to go ahead and pick up that phone and give you a call and say, okay, hey, come on in. Or we're interested in sitting down talking to you, or whatever the case may be. But as always, you have to pursue that issue. Have to pursue that issue, because you can't afford to let that issue slide. Because if you let it slide, then guess what? In the end, your child may lose out. Let's see if she's back on with us yet. Mary, are you on with us yet? Okay, evidently not, that dinner must be good that she's out there trying to have that dinner. But I'm not going to interrupt her dinner, and hopefully she'll be able to call in sometime during the broadcast, and I apologize for that, folks, because I was hoping to have her on by now. But if anybody else want to join in on the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again. 917-889-8095. Let me just share some insight with you. I'm hoping I'm going to have fun this evening. We know about national champion, NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. You know, they had a couple key players that we constantly heard about the entire time during the playoffs. One of the young men, goes by the name of Draymond Green. And I know Mike had the pleasure of meeting Draymond during the time that they were on their tryouts, various teams, from the time I actually was out there on the trials with him, you know, and for whatever reason or another, quite a few times he called me the name, Draymond and just a couple other guys. So on that note, let me tell you how I became aware of who his mom was. Old friend of mine, and I guess, you know, things kind of work in mysterious ways. The young man that first introduced me to Miss Green was a young man that worked for me some years ago, time that I was in the military. And he said, "Hey, bro," he said, "I know a young lady and her son is in, doing NBA workouts. You maybe got drafted by such and such teams, so on and so forth." Kept on to give me some distribution. And I kept trying to find out who he was, and he gave me a name, and I'm looking at the name, and I'm like, okay, this name doesn't sound familiar to me, and, you know, so on and so forth. But what it was just that she had, you know, her name listed as one thing, I guess her maiden name at the same time. You know, to make a long story short, turns out that it was Draymond, this very Barbara Green. And so I connected with her, and we talked a few times on the phone. And, you know, we just shared some different thoughts about different things that some of our kids are born and some of the experiences we have. And I told her, I said, you know, have you get a chance with to have you on the show? She came some time before she had the information. But I got really excited when I was at a TV interview and somebody said on the commercial, Draymond, it was the person that Draymond was doing, I forgot exactly who she was. But the guy pretended like he was interviewing Draymond at the time. And he said, "Well, what is your mom going to tweet now?" And I found that to be real funny. And that really caught my attention. And so I reached out to her and I said, "Hey, man," I said, "you know, I know you probably get ready for big time because they talk about you on television. I would love to have you on the show. Join us on the Parents with the Parents Network. Share some insight on your experience during the entire time of the playoffs." You know, because she was tweeting like there was no before. And if you ever want to go out there and check her out and like her Twitter page or whatever, I'm not, you know, really savvy with all that. I do enough to get around. It is at @BABERS_Mary, MARY. And I believe that's it. Go ahead and check her out. You know, click on the page, follow her, and she can definitely share some insights with you on what's going on in the world of Draymond Green and his success. Well, I want to see if she has joined us yet. Mary, are you on with us yet? I guess she still hasn't made it on. I'm hoping that she'll join us here shortly. We've been on for a few minutes, but you know, one thing I also want to talk about, if I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about how we as parents So I think we hold a special responsibility. That special responsibility is to ensure our kids get the best out of this college scholarship. And parents, let me say this. It shouldn't make a big difference if it's Division One, Division Two, Division Three, NAIA, Junior College. And when I say NAIA, they also have Division One, Two, and Three levels. So, you know, it shouldn't make a big difference as long as you can get that scholarship for your child or that financial aid for your child. It's the ultimate thing. It's the one thing that we really and truly have to reach towards if we really and truly want it to happen. I say that folks because our role is valuable in that process. What I mean by that is if our child, I said this to the parents, I said if our child is out there playing and they're doing their best on the court, also they're doing their best above everything else in the classroom. So at some point in time, there's that other piece we need to pick up. We, as parents, need to pick up. That piece simply means helping them or drafting a letter for them, sending that letter out to various college coaches, and letting them know that, hey, the child is interested in school. Or, you know, just write it as though, you know, your son or your daughter is writing the letter. And I actually have a form letter that I have put together. You can tweak it however you want to tweak it. And I use this letter. I've sent this letter out to a number of parents across the country, and they've used it. So I think to some point or so, opportunity that the letter has some value, and the letter just simply just identifies who we are and you know what we're trying to do, and from there I just got a hold on a second there, folks. I think they be in love. They have a caller on the line. I think we must get something here. I'm trying to find Mary. Have you joined us yet? Evidently not. I truly apologize because I knew she was on at one point in time and somehow must have dropped off. But I know she had the right number. And I'm not sure exactly on the bar. I can't get it. But hopefully we'll get there on. But like I was saying, parents, at some point in time we have to pick up that piece. We have to pick up that piece. If we can't pick up that piece, then we're missing the opportunity for our kids, and we're shortchanging them because that piece is such a valuable piece to their success. It is truly a valuable piece to their success. And sitting down and drafting a letter or assisting them in drafting a letter, come on, I think that's asking too much. I honestly do not think that that's asking too much. They're trying to get through. I don't know what seems to be the problem with my internet access, but it seems as though where it is. Normally I'm having technical difficulties on the other end, and now it seems like I have technical difficulties on this end. I'm not sure exactly what it is, folks. I've become a little frustrated with the system here, allowing this technology to be kept. And that's normally not me. I'm normally pretty tech savvy and able to navigate this here process with some level of success. If I can get through this process with some level of success, then I think we can make this thing happen. But if anybody else want to join in on the call, you can go ahead and give us a call at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. You know, we have some information that we're trying to share with you. And if there's something that's supposed to be of value to you, then by all means, we're here for you. As far as my guest is concerned, hoping that she'll be able to join us here soon. I've reached out to her again, sent her a text message, and see if that can get through to her. And nothing else, then I'm not sure.
Yeah, I got it.
Uh-oh, sound like we got her on.
Yeah, I'm on here. I just came. I'm trying to walk to the door so I can hear you. So I can't hear.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, folks, I think we're in luck. We got our guest on, and I know she's probably had a busy day. And I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about the time she's had over the last couple of weeks, because I tried to keep up with her on Twitter and try to keep and connect with her a few times on social media. But she's been a busy lady. Perry, are you on?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, first and foremost, we'd like to thank for you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us this evening. And we know that you've been a busy lady over the last few weeks, and we caught every bit of the case that you sent down. we definitely appreciate you keeping us informed of what's going on live and in person. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Start out with that part, and then we want you to give us a little recap of your experience over the last couple of weeks.
Mary Bayward Green, Draymond's mom. Works at Saginaw Public Schools as a security campus officer. Had three children. Draymond is the youngest. And there's really not much else to tell.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. I don't know why that seems so hard to believe. Okay, well, since you want to be all shy, there's not really much to tell. Okay, then give us a little insight on, let's go back a week. Let's talk about his high school years, transitioning from high school into college, and then we'll move forward as we move towards from Michigan State to Golden State Warriors. So let's start back in the high school time period. Was he a heavily recruited young man?
They say that he wasn't, but I mean, what I saw he was, because, you know, I guess what they see is totally different than what I saw. I mean, we had hundreds of letters coming to our home. Depends on whether he was heavily recruited D1 or not. You know,
okay.
I guess that was the difference when they say heavily recruited.
Okay.
We got thousands of them. So.
Well, he definitely on the front burner of everybody's mind now. And like I told you earlier, a couple months ago, he is definitely the face of the Golden State Warriors. You know, folks probably know more about him than they know about the Splash Brothers and Andre Iguodala and anybody else that's out there, just based upon him being that outspoken person. And I think I kind of sort of see where that being that outspoken person comes from. Am I correct in saying that?
Correct.
Okay. Well, folks, she said it herself. She admitted to it. So now we got her on the hook, and now we're going to go ahead and just lash her on with the question. You know, being outspoken. And I know when you first got out there on social media, and then we're going to get back to talking about his college days. I need to get this in there first before I forget all about it. Being out there on social media, and you decide to start tweeting about what's going on in the playoffs. What was your reaction when you got that first reply back, or when you got somebody to come back with a comment or some kind of statement to what you had to say?
What was my first reaction? What you talking about when I told the man to jump in the lake with weight?
Ah, yes, ma'am. Go ahead now. I think that's what started everything.
Yeah, I actually toned it down, though, because what I wanted to say, I knew I couldn't say it because they attached me with Drake. So, you know, I had to sit back and think about, you know, what can you say that, okay, it's bad, but, you know, it's not telling them what you really want. He got the message, though. That was all that counted.
He got
the message.
He got the message.
Yeah.
And I think that started everything. I think that started everything because – From that point on, like I said earlier in the show, folks, I heard about her on a commercial one day. I was sitting down looking at a commercial when Dre popped up on the commercial. I said, oh, he got a little endorsement, he got a commercial going on here. And why did the reporter ask that first question? Well, what is your mom going to talk about now? I said, go ahead now. Look at here. Yep. But, you know, that's just showing that another parent there in the corner of their child. And I need for you to share with the parents how important that is. Because I know I read about you getting ready to take off and you was on your way leaving from Detroit heading towards California, out there in California. I know you've been to the parade. I know you was out there for every event. And then I remember you was back in Cleveland wearing a Golden State shirt. I tried to get you to send us a selfie at that time, but you wouldn't do it. I wanted to see it as you walked down the street with your Golden State shirt on while you was downtown Cleveland or wherever you was at in Cleveland.
I remember that. But about that time, I had got back into the room at that time.
Okay. But tell us how important, spend it all seriousness, tell us how important it is for fans to be involved.
As far as for me and Draymond, I think it was very important because I had never not been at his games. You know, this is the most I haven't been around Dray since he's been, you know, playing. So with me coming, you know, he had sent me a little text message and he said, I know, you know, that you felt that you needed to be at work and that was what was important to you. But what was important to me was having you out here. He said, and now that you're here, the text message was something like, how much better I feel, you know, that it was more, it was comforting for me to be there for him. Just that little, his support, even though, you know, he had his girlfriend there, but he did, you know, just let me know that it wasn't the same without me being there, just to have, you know, my support. So it has to be very important for him just to hear that same voice that he's heard since he's been playing in since kindergarten, you know. And I would have to know that, believe that's true, because when I told him to stop whining and crying, and then that next game that he played, it changed his entire game around.
So I know
it's just me being there. It, you know, it had a different effect to it.
Okay. Well, you know, and you said something that sounds really powerful. You know, you said that, you know, without coming out and saying that y'all have that type of bond, that you can come out and be direct with him and let him know it's okay. Hey, I got you. You know, stop that whining and crying, you know, and go ahead and do what you got to do. And that's something strong. Parents, we have to let our children know that we are there for them. You know, I talk about it all the time. We have to be their biggest advocate. We can't rely on the person over here to the left or person over here to the right or some coach that they just met 3 or 4 years ago or some guy that coached them over the summer. We can't do that. Parents, we have to be in that corner. It's not an optional thing. It's a must. It's mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we can't overlook. You know, and, you know, just like you just said, once he realized that you were there, he reached his level, his comfort zone. And like,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is like old home time. Now it's time to go ahead and do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
because
what he
you
that's
know,
what he turned it on.
It's like it was 20,000 people in here, and he would always tell me, "But I can hear your voice." It's like they tone out every other sound just to hear one sound. So out of all the people, he could hear my voice through that. With all that yelling and screaming that I be doing up in the stands, he actually listening for it. You know, and I'm like, how do you hear my voice out of 20,000 people? And he just would say that his ears are trained to hear me. So when he didn't hear me, it's not to say that he won't play to the best of his ability, but with him hearing me, it was just that little support that he needed that pushed him to where he needed to be.
You know, it's funny because, and that's an interesting part, folks. And again, parents, that shows the value that we add to what they're doing. You know, if he can hear, and your child can hear the voice of mom, the voice of dad, in a crowd of 20,000, oh, that's a powerful thing there, folks. That's
mm-hmm.
a powerful thing. And I experienced that, and I'm going to testify to that, just as well, because during the time that my son was at University of Virginia, they ended up writing it was in a news article one day when they had won the game against somebody. I forgot who it was at the time, but one of the reporters heard me say a couple things to him and didn't know that he could actually hear me until he got down later on in the locker room and realized that he heard everything I had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been a time where he had went to the free throw line and I was watching him set up for his free throw, and I could tell from the release that the ball was off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. Boom, bounced on off the rim.
Yeah.
And then I just said a couple words, take your time, you know, take it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Next shot dropped. And the guy looked at me, and he kept looking back at me because I'm standing up on, like, the second level or something like that. And I was just
mm-hmm.
basically just talking in a normal voice, but he heard everything I said.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
parents, I'm telling you, that's why I stress the point of need to be involved, need to be engaged, need to be present. That's not an optional thing. Hey, at this time, what I want to do, I want to see if there's anybody else out there that want to join in on the conversation. They may have a couple questions for you. They can give us a call, 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Mr. Engineer, give me that success piece, and then we'll come right back.
Got there at 4 a.m. He all ready to rock and roll. Got on the suit. Should have wore short. The old man grabs his hand, said, "How bad do you want to be successful?" He said, "Real bad." He said, "Walk on out in the water." So he walks out into the water. Watch this. When he walks out into the water, it goes way deep. So he's like, "This guy crazy." Y'all. Thank you. I want to make money. He got me out here swimming. I didn't ask to be a lifeguard. I want to make money. He got me in. So he said, come out a little further. Walked out a little further. Then he had it right around this area, the shoulder area. So this old man crazy. He's making money, but he's crazy. He said, come on out a little further. He came out a little further. Was right at his mouth. My man like, I'm about to go back in here. This child is mine. But old man said, I thought you said you wanted to be successful. He said, I do. He said, walk a little further. He came, dropped his head in, held him down, hold him down. My man, getting scratches, holding him down. He had him held down just before my man was about to pass out. He raised him up. He said, I got a question for you. He told the guy, he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. I don't know how many of y'all got asthma here today, but if you ever had an asthma attack before, you short of breath, SOB, short of breath, you wheezing. The only thing you're trying to do is get some air. You don't care about no basketball game. You don't care what's on TV. You don't care about nobody calling you. You don't care about a party. The only thing you care about when you're trying to breathe is to get some fresh air. That's it. And when you get to the point where all you want to do is be successful, as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.
All right, we're back.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, thanks for joining in and staying on with us. And I know you're trying to get your dinner out of the way. I want to bring in a caller. I think we got a caller on the line. Area code should be 562. Mr. Engineer, connect that number for us. Just click all three of us on.
Okay,
area
I'm here.
Area code
I'm still
562.
Here.
Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, I thought we had a caller on the line. If that number was on the line, I was trying to get the engineer to click that person there on the call as well. Area code 562. Well, anyway, we'll see if that person rejoins us. But we definitely thank you for coming on and sharing, you know, your experience and, you know, just give us a quick few minutes on, you know, your whole playoff experience. Just give us a little snapshot of playoff experience because many of us haven't been out there and been at that level yet, and we're waiting to get there. But we want some of your insight just to give us a little taste of what we missed.
What I did experience, which I didn't know that I was experiencing, that the Warriors, from what I hear, is like one of the classiest organizations. And I heard that from Sean Livingston's brother, who, you know, Sean has traveled around the NBA a bit. And his brother was able to tell us the difference in some organizations. You know, the Warriors had us out in the Ritz-Carlton. And based on Sean's experience or his brother's experience, other teams that he played for just gave, you know, basically if they would have gave him a hotel, it wouldn't have been that type of hotel. So I was glad and thankful for that experience, you know, they give you the best of everything. And just being able, because, I mean, that was my first time ever going to the NBA Finals as well, you know, so I didn't know what to expect. But once I finally, you know, got in there and got settled, it's just, I mean, it's basketball on a whole different level. Everything that I had seen before or thought that I would see, you know, with the Splash Brothers or Dre or Andre Iguodala, all of it was totally different. Because then they, you know, normally what I saw, those guys were superhuman. Once it got to the playoffs, it seemed as if they became just like any other team. Now they was really in a dogfight. You know, they playing the best player in the world. So they had, I think they had as many nerves playing the game as we had watching it. They didn't, you know, they couldn't settle down. It was just a crazy, the atmosphere was different. Everything about it was totally different. And the entire time, you was like at the edge of your seat on, you know, like somebody scratching a chalkboard. It was just that intense. And, I mean, but it was so exciting. It's really not even words to describe the feeling because you've never been there before, so you never had to place words on it. And just getting a chance to, you know, meet all these people, meeting the owners. And, I mean, I had you know, the owners coming up to me, one of the owners' wives, you know, telling me that she picked Draymond in training camp and how excited they were. Then you get to meet the Splash Brothers, you know, just people who you see on TV. And not that you idolize these people, but never in your wildest dreams did you ever imagine or dream that you would be there. You always hope, but when that dream comes true, you're like, wow, this is what I was dreaming. You know, and that's what it feels like the whole time. It feels like a dream. It still feels, I'm in a bathroom, y'all, so I'm not flushing the toilet the other people are, but this is the quietest place that I can find. But it's just so real. It's so surreal that you just, like, still pinching yourself and, like, really? You know, especially us with basketball fanatics. This is the biggest playground we could ever play on. You know, this is it. And then you see your child running up a court, and it's the NBA Finals. You know, I'm still asking myself, was you really at the NBA Finals and your child was playing? I still don't have words to say how I felt. All I could say was that I was blessed. I know it had to come from the best because nobody else would have gave him that, you know. And just to know Dre the way that I know him, Draymond, the way that I know him, nobody thought he could do it. Nobody. Nobody gave him a chance. You had a few people who knew him in a personal way, you know, okay, this is my guy. I'm going to go for him. I'm going to go to bat and say he can do it. But the world himself didn't give this boy a chance. But all I just kept telling him, you can do it. Man didn't create you, so man can't make you. You're going to play. You're going to do this. And all through school, college, whatever level he went on, I was always there to just give him that extra push because he would fall to the side. But I would always be there to pick him up and say, this was your dream. This is what you dreamed about. And if you're going to be a part of your dream, you got to be in it. So you got to be out there playing. And one thing that if you don't even believe in scripture, one verse that I take with me and I take it anywhere, man that don't work, don't eat. Even if you don't believe in the Bible, that principle is so true and it's so real. If you don't grind, meaning if you know what I'm saying, if man don't work, man don't eat. So that was our entire principle of the entire time that I raised him. If you want this, you got to go out there and get it. Nobody's going to give it to you. If you want to get full, depending on what you want to eat. Now, if you want to keep eating this chicken, you can stay around here and sagging out with me. But if you want to taste this life on a grander scale, then you got to go out there and work. And so you want some caviar, you got to put in some work. And that's what he did. His whole life, he just said, I got to keep working harder. Every season he came out, whether it was high school or college, he came out better. He came out with a different body. He looked different, you know, because they kept saying what he couldn't do. So at some point he had to say, I got to prove my haters wrong. And that's what he set out to do because he knew what he wanted to do. So I tell people now everywhere I go, don't stop your child from dreaming. I know now that we as adults are the people that crush our kids' dreams or other kids or whoever. We are the dream crushers. But if we standing there and we building them up and telling them what they can't be, peer pressure, it comes. But if you any, peer pressure can't bother them. Peer pressure going on by this way. Leave them alone. You got to get into your child. I pick my kids' friends. I was one of them parents. I'm sorry. I just picked my kids' friends. They couldn't play with everybody. Everybody wasn't a part of what you was trying to do, and everybody wasn't trying to go where you was trying to go. So I picked their friends until they was old enough to say, well, Mama, you know, I know what I'm doing now. But, it's always good to be around people that's like-minded. You don't have all these tragic stories. We can't stop everything, but some things we can control. I ain't got to worry about my son out here gang-banging and all that stuff because he ain't around the gang. I didn't allow him. We raised in the inner city of Saginaw, right in the heart of the city. And he had to keep his head straight forward. If he looked to the side, I'd knock his head to the other side. Mind your business and keep going. Because I already knew how easy that was for him to fall into that trap. That's all we knew. That's how people eat in our city. Selling drugs, prostitutes, gangbanging. That's how they eat. But once I just kept instilling in him that you want to play basketball, this is what he said he was going to do at 2 years old. He said he was going to play at Michigan State. At 4 years old, he said he was playing in the NBA. It was my job to make sure I did my best job to make sure his dream came true. And that's all we did the entire time. It was a whole bunch of prayer, but, you know, prayer is what it says. You can pray, but if you ain't putting in the work, it's dead. So we had to put in that work. And like I just said again, I reiterate that if you don't believe in Scripture, just believe that you ain't working, you ain't eating, because ain't nobody giving you nothing. So that's my story, and that's just how me and Dre run things. And right now, guess what, y'all? I'm going on Twitter tomorrow. I'm going up in the San Francisco station. Hey! So,
wait, now what time is that?
I don't know. Well, I'm going at noon. I don't know what time they're going to put me on there. They're going to let me do a live Q&A so people get to chime in to me. So I think my big mouth finally got me somewhere.
You know you got to go ahead and text me so I can tune in on it if I have to log in from the internet.
I will. All right. I'm
going
to get back in here with Dre because he's like looking at me like I'm crazy, so I got to go explain to him what I was just doing.
Well, tell him Mike Scott's daddy said, hey, good job.
I will. Looking
forward to meeting him. And, hey, keep his head up. Hey, and keep that work going because he want to eat.
That's right. Thank you.
Hey, we appreciate you, sis.
Okay, thanks.
All right, have a good evening. Well, folks, hey, you heard it firsthand from our guests. Our guest, Mr. Engineer, go ahead and mute her phone for right now. See if we get anybody else on. We got area code 562 on. Go ahead and click that person there real quick. Other than that, folks, you know, I think what she just said, and I think once she had a chance to get somewhere where she could really talk, she shared her views and her philosophy on how she helped that young man get and reach his level of success. But some of the same nuggets that she shared with us and some of the same nuggets that I've been sharing with us and sharing with the community and sharing with the whole entire time. Do we have another guest that just joined us? Is that area code 562? I thought I heard somebody add on to the conversation. But definitely, folks, what she shared with us as far as, you know, she said stuff that I have to look back at myself and have to make sure that I didn't write this blueprint out and send it out that somebody else was able to get on. Because that's the same thing I thought about. You know, during the time that my child was going through high school in Paris, you have to think about this. If you are going through the recruiting process now or about to go through the recruiting process over the next few years, and what I mean by going through it is be like in the 8th, 9th grade, 10th grade, and you're starting to pick up a little bit of, hey, at some point in time, the part that she said was she had to pick her son's friend. There's a golden nugget that we have. I'm not saying that we all have to go out there and pick our children. A lot of times we started early enough to make sure that they knew exactly, you know, the things that's going to benefit. But one thing I want to add to that, and I ended up doing this with myself, you know, you got to that point when you get ready to transition from high school to college. One thing that somebody shared with me, everybody that came up with you is not everybody's ready to go with you. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I'm going to say it again. And I shared this with my son. Everybody that came up with you, everybody that grew up with you, is not ready to go with you. And what I mean by that is, you'll have some folks that's in his circle or that's in their circle or that they grew up hanging out with, so on and so forth. But every individual is not the same individual that's ready to go on to the next level because they may not have prepared themselves to go to the next level. So they may still have some of those mindsets and some of those tendencies that may hamper or damper or hinder trying to avoid that. We're trying to avoid that. So there were many times where where I had to remove my son from you know, his circumstances, his situation, or just surround him by like-minded folks. And then surrounding him by like-minded folks, those folks had to focus on going to college and playing at the next level. But there was also, you know, some elements that he associated with from time to time that wasn't really thinking about going on and playing at the next level. Or they thought it was going to be one of these overnight quick fixes. And I was going to be the first one to tell them, you know. I was going to be one of the first ones to tell them that that's not how it goes. You have to prepare yourself. You have to sit down and put the work in. Just like Mary just shared with us a second ago, if you want to eat, you got to work. You know, if you want to eat, you have to work. And I went as far as my son started the University of Virginia in 2007. 2010, going into his, from his sophomore going into his junior year, we had the opportunity to attend the Power Networking Conference. At the time, Power Networking Conference was in Atlanta. Not knowing that years later he was going to end up in Atlanta, we had the opportunity to attend the Power Networking Conference. It is a conference of about 2,000 people. And all these folks are business-minded, entrepreneurs, looking at moving on to the next level, next phase, next stage in their life, looking at doing things on a bigger and grander scale than what we have been doing or what I have been doing, just simply as, you know, a middle-class dad trying to survive to make things happen for my child. And he had a chance to meet some great and wonderful folks there, met the founder of the Power Networking Group, George Frazier, met another brother by the name of Everett Lynn, who else was there, Randall Pinkett, if you recall. Randall was a winner of The Apprentice. Donald Trump, when they used to have that program out called The Apprentice, Randall won The Apprentice a few years ago. You know, and Les Brown, Linda, Judge Hatchett, you know, had a chance to meet these folks. And when I say meet people, I'm not just talking about I'm pointing them out from across the room. I'm talking about these folks dialoguing with this young man being sophomore in college. And they're dialoguing with him. Hey, how you doing? What's your name? You know, what school are you at? So on and so forth. Hey, I like the way you dress. You're looking pretty sharp. The whole works. And just giving him a level of comfort. That changed his environment. That changed his outlook. That realized that he belonged, helped him realize that he belongs in that environment. And from there, I think everything else was gravy, and he was able to move on. Folks, if you want to chime in on what I've been talking about or something that you heard Mary share with us this evening, please, by all means, give us a call, 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. This engineer, just go along, open up all the phone lines, and I want to see if anybody want to chime in on the conversation with us. We'd love to hear from you this evening. I think we have a few out-of-town callers that we may have on the line. Chime them in first, click them in first, and then we'll go from there. Good evening. Welcome to the Parents Go to Parents Network. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, caller.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. Thank you again for another wonderful session. This has been very informative, and it's good to hear from the parents.
Hey, thank you. Who are we talking to this evening?
This is Rosella Sproul in Fredericksburg.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, wonderful. Welcome. I'm glad you was able to join in on the conversation. I thought we were going to have a problem there for a minute because actually I'm just rolling back in from North Carolina myself and trying to talk my son into, talk him through running the switchboard, so we was having some technical difficulty, but I'm glad you was impressed and got some information out of our show this evening. Looking forward to working with you later on in the year, and hopefully we can put something else together here real soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Got some things sketched out already. And this is just beautiful. It's so great that you all are putting this on. I'm hoping, you know, that the reach will expand and more parents will become aware, because you've got a jewel here.
Exactly. Thank you. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Engineer, let's see who else we have on the line with us. Anyone else out there? Give us a call, 917-889-8095. Oh, I heard another caller. Go ahead, caller, you on the air with the Parents Coach Parents Network. Okay. You know, sometimes I think folks call in and they're a little shy and they just don't want to chime in on the conversation, but that's all right. There's no problem with that. No problem whatsoever. We appreciate you just taking the time to call in to the show. Because at the end of the day, hey, you'll be able to pass on some of the information that we shared on the air. Well, Mr. Engineer, I think we're getting close to our time where we're getting ready to wind down. I think we've got probably about another 2-3 more minutes before the show starts to wind down. Good. So at this point, let's give me a quick promo.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Each and every Sunday evening here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, on Blog Talk Radio, we're on each and every Sunday evening. And we love to hear from you. If you have something else that you want to share with us in our conversation this evening, folks, by all means, we welcome you to join in on the conversation. Again, you can always give us a call at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. And look forward to just sharing some information with you.
Yes,
you know, there's been oftentimes, like I said, we have young men and women that miss out on opportunities. And they miss out on opportunities just simply because they wait too late or they wait the last minute. And that always hurts our young athletes. You know, the thing about it is, and I'm going to say this, and at some point in time, folks, I'm going to need your support, galvanizing, working with me, just working this thing together to make sure that we're able to make a mark on society, because we know how it's getting to the point where they get ready to change the score, the basic requirements just to get in is, going up. And with that basic requirement going up, the next thing is going to have to happen if there's going to be a 2.3 requirement to get into college, then why we can't make it a automatic 2.3 requirement for our young folks to play ball, play sports at the high school level. And I say that because that way, in a situation, nothing else, at least they will have that bare minimum requirement to be eligible and play at the next level. And that's what we're looking forward to. That's what we should be striving toward. That's what, at some point in time, I want to be able to go to the school board and say, hey, let's grandfather the situation so that
our children have a minimum requirement of a 2.3 to play middle school ball and a 2.3 core classes play high school ball. If we put that out and we let everybody know about it long in advance, there should be no reason why we should ever have a child that cannot meet the minimum grade point average to qualify to play college ball. None. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. And you know, there's some parents out there, and I know, and I can see your lips moving through the internet, but there's some parents out there that's probably saying, well, why are we going to go with a 2.3? Why don't we just make it a 2.5? Or why don't we just make it a 3.0? Well, parents, are sad to say, and I'm going to be real honest with you, there's quite a few of our young men, and in some cases, maybe some of our young ladies as well, that wouldn't be able to make it if that 3.0 was out there as a requirement. They would not be able to make it. And I'm not trying to shut anybody out of the system because somebody has jacked up and set the standards where they're unable to achieve. If we can get them in at the bare minimum and they understand the importance of working towards getting the best out of their situation, then let's go for it. Let's go for it. Please, let's go for it. Because our children need it. Times are not getting any easier for them. Times are becoming harder and harder and harder for them. And every time we get a chance, each and every time we get a chance, I think we should work our best to do what we have to do to support them. Every time. Every time. Well, I see we have a number of great callers on the air. And at this point in time, you know what? I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to bring in my engineer. Engineer, you on the line with me today? You can say something now. Hello? Mr. Engineer? Anton? Anton? Well, that's my son, folks, and I think he even got shy on me and didn't want to speak up this evening. But I see we got a number of callers that's on the line with us, and I appreciate y'all tuning in to the show today. You've been here on the Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, M.H. Scott. Been another wonderful show, folks, another wonderful show. I'm going to go ahead and play a couple little pieces as we prepare to wind down for the evening. But as always, hey, you've been wonderful guests out there, and we love to have you each and every week.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, folks, on that note, hey, you have a great evening. Until then, have fun. It's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. Hey, that's M.H. Scott, Parents Coaching Parents Network. We out. Thank you.